Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. For the past few days, we've been looking at an article that Eric wrote for the Christian Research Journal. It was volume 42, number 1, an article titled, Offering Pearls to Pigs and Dogs. Eric was taking this from Matthew 7:6, where Jesus said, "Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you." What we've been discussing here is the fact that many times we as Christians, in wanting to share what we believe to be true and to share what we believe to be sacred with those who may not share our views, there comes a time when we are often rebuffed, maybe even verbally rebuked, maybe even had vulgar language hurled at us for what we have said. And the question then becomes, well, how long do we go on with this? And I think what Jesus was saying here is there comes a point when you finally have to pull back and not continue the conversation any further. Now, in yesterday's show, I was citing some of the things that New Testament commentator William Hendrickson said in his commentary on the Gospel of Matthew. He uses the word punishment when describing withholding or stopping the conversation with an individual like this. Let me read exactly what he said. This is on page 760 of his commentary on Matthew. Hendrickson writes this. He says, "A moment arrives when constant resistance to the gracious invitation must be punished by the departure of the messengers of good tidings." I was telling you as we were prepping for this show, Eric, I'd never looked at it that way. But I think Hendrickson is absolutely correct. If we have what these people need, but through their bad behavior, we have to make a decision that the conversation should not continue any more than it has gone on, we are in fact punishing them by withholding this information. It's not that it hasn't been self-inflicted on their part. They brought this decision to bear because of their behavior. But it's Jesus himself who basically, I think, puts the responsibility in our court. And this is why when he does something like this, we shouldn't treat this lightly. We should be as patient as we can possibly be, but there comes a point in the conversation where we may just have to say, you know what? And I've said this to many people before, you're just not ready for this conversation.
Well, I think that goes right in line with what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. He writes, "The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them, because they are spiritually discerned." So for Paul, he understood that it was going to take an inner working from the Spirit of God, and they are blind. They're not able to see. In fact, we have lots of examples of Paul. He loved to go to the synagogue. That was his go-to place whenever he would go into a new city where he could reason with the rabbis and the teachers of the law. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 27, he explains how brutally he was treated and even taken to the brink of death. In Acts chapter 13, when the Jewish leaders at Pisidian Antioch rejected the message of salvation, Paul and Barnabas said they were going to turn their efforts to the Gentiles, to the great delight of the Gentile people. Acts 13, 48 through 49 didn't stop him going to the synagogues, but he ended up turning over to the Gentiles. And when he visits the synagogue in Ephesus in Acts chapter 19, verse 9, this is what it says, "But when some became stubborn and continued in unbelief, speaking evil of the way before the congregation, he withdrew from them and took the disciples with him." Notice, Bill, he simply finds another place to speak, and he's going to continue his tactics elsewhere. And I think that's what we need to do. We need to be willing to cut off when the situation arises that it's not going to be productive and try again another day. If that is a friend or a relative, I realize how difficult that is, but just keep praying for them. But don't try to force the issue, because you can't force anybody into the kingdom of God.
I wonder if we realize, when we read about the weapons of our warfare and the fact that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, that we have a great responsibility with the word. And I think sometimes people do tend to abuse that. But it's difficult, though, Eric, when you're talking with loved ones, and if the door is open and you want to just say everything that you can possibly say, and as we were talking about yesterday, you can tend to overload the individual with facts. And we want to be cautious about that. We want to make sure that we use our words wisely. And of course, the Proverbs have a lot of things to say about saying things to fools. And I know these are hard words. They're hard descriptors to refer to people that we may love, as Jesus says, you know, as pigs and dogs and fools. But they are blind, and we want to be careful. I'll never forget listening to our good friend Chip Thompson, and he was talking about how people are blind, and we certainly don't want to beat up blind people. We want to be gracious in our talk. Sometimes with some individuals, you have to notch it up a little bit. But again, that discernment lies with us. We have to make those decisions. And it's a big decision to make. So Christian, don't take that lightly. Think through this. Is this a time to really call off the conversation? Should you pursue it a little bit further? Maybe not. Maybe so. That's up to you. You're in that situation. So I think to be a responsible evangelist, we need to be prepared for that time when we have to make the decision saying, you know what, I've said just about everything I can possibly say. I don't need to say any more at this point.
In the article, I listed four things that I have learned through the different types of evangelistic approaches that I have participated in over the years. And so I'd like to share those four. Number one, I said, ask questions. Don't assume anything. Let others tell you what they believe instead of you telling them what they believe. I have found that people are more receptive when the evangelist is willing to listen to what they have to say. And that's true in any kind of relationship, Bill. So often we want to do all the talking instead of also listening. We need to be able to hear what the person is saying. Aaron Shafawalaf, who works with us at MRM, likes to ask this question when he wants to get into conversation. Have you ever heard an evangelical Christian explain what they believe about the gospel? Would you like to hear a presentation from an evangelical? And I've been with him where I'm going to say 8 times out of 10, they say, sure. And so he gives the gospel in 5 minutes or less. He just gives a short recap of what exactly it's all about. And sometimes the person will say, okay, great, goodbye. Other times they start asking questions and they're into a conversation that's very productive.
Well, think about this scenario. You're having a conversation with an individual. You're not discussing anything spiritual whatsoever, but then you listen very carefully and they say something that you can use as a segue to get in to talking about spiritual things. Why not simply say, you know, it's interesting you said this. Can I ask you a question? Most people won't say no in a friendly conversation like that. Remember, this is not adversarial. You're just carrying on a conversation, perhaps with a stranger or even perhaps with a colleague at work or a student that you may know at school. Asking a question like that, obviously, the answer is going to be giving you permission to ask something. You might even preface your question with, I hope I don't offend you when I say this, but let me ask you this. You've already explained that this is probably going to be a touchy question, but you recognize it for the touchy question that it is. The person has already given you permission to do so. So if they are offended, certainly I didn't mean to offend you, but you did say I could ask, and I just thought I would.
In the book that I co-edited with Sean McDowell called Sharing the Good News with Mormons, I know that Aaron, as well as Lynn Wilder, wrote chapters on this very issue as far as asking questions. And so that first point, I think, is important.
In point number two, Eric, you say, keep a sense of humor. What do you mean by that?
Well, I think that sometimes we take ourselves too seriously, and I'm not saying that we should try to poke fun at other people, but at the same time, to have a little bit of levity. If you're going to make an object of your humor, make it be yourself. Say, you know, I really fail at that, and just kind of laugh and say, you know, I understand where you're coming from. sometimes people get so tied up with trying to get the gospel, they almost become mean-spirited in the way that they sound.
In point number three, you say, look for signs of resistance. What do you mean by that?
You're going to look for obvious signs. Body language, I think, is a big one, because people are going to roll their eyes. They're going to just show you the disdain they have for what you're trying to present. I think right there, it's them telling you, just leave me alone. So why would you try to force that? So I think any kind of resistance, if you try to temper it with asking a question and they're just not receptive, then it might be the end of that particular attempt.
In point number four, you say, accept the response, and then you have in quotations, no thanks.
And that comes down to what we've been talking about these past couple of days. If someone's not ready for the gospel, then we need to be willing to change topics or move on completely. The story I told yesterday of my Jehovah's Witness relative, she was open for an hour. She allowed me to talk. She did a little bit of the talking, but she allowed me to do the talking. And I asked her a few questions. She didn't seem to be too receptive to wanting to go too long with that. So then finally there came a place where it was obvious that the conversation was over. I think I made the right decision in allowing the conversation to end there. I was able to present the gospel. I laid out the differences between Watchtower theology and what the Bible teaches. And so I had to say, okay, we're done. And so, again, going back to the idea of trying to force things, we don't see Jesus doing that. We don't see Paul doing that. They only dealt with people who were receptive.
You mentioned Jesus not really chasing after people. I like to bring up the story of the rich young ruler that came up to Jesus and thought that he had qualified, even though he was asking, what must I do to be saved? By his answers, you could tell in his own mind, he thought he qualified. And Jesus kept pointing out the fact that he was most unqualified. But the Bible talks about this young man turning away. And you don't see Jesus running after him, go, well, wait a minute. Maybe we can talk about this. Maybe I can compromise with you. You don't see him doing that. And many times I've seen where people will walk away where I just don't feel compelled to go chasing after them. I've said just about everything they need to hear at this particular moment. But I have to rest in the fact that it's the Holy Spirit that does the convicting of hearts. And once I came to that realization as a very young Christian, boy, witnessing became so much easier because I didn't go home at night thinking that because I didn't say a certain thing that somehow that person's going to be lost forever. Christian, don't think so highly of yourself. The Holy Spirit can use even stupid people like us, and he often does use stupid people like us to accomplish his will. Just because the Holy Spirit does the convicting does not allow us to use sloppy arguments. I think we should use the best arguments that we can possibly use, but all the while realizing it's not the clever argument that saves anybody. It's the Holy Spirit that saves the individual. And at the same time, I think we have a responsibility to honor God in showing someone who may not agree with us that there are good reasons to believe the New Testament gospel.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.